Thank you. Before I preach, I need to ask Jim a question. Are we prepared to sing the invitation song? When I realized you weren't singing the ones in the bulletin, I thought, oh. Plan something, so we'll do something different. Y'all pray that my mind works on something through the sermon, all right? Okay. All right, take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Today we're going to bring the fifth and final message in the series of self-evident truths. Truths that really require no debate and should not have any really dispute. They're too obvious. Today is one of those very self-evident truths because I have titled it, "We Are Blessed Indeed." I hope there's no one here to argue that today. We are blessed indeed. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Straightforward, Paul to the congregation of Ephesus makes this statement. God has blessed us indeed. But I want us to go a little bit beyond this text, though we will come back to it, because I want us to look a little more at the parameters of the blessings of God. And so the first thing I want to address and just kind of lump it together and just simply say this: physically, materially, and financially, we are blessed indeed. Now the gospel is universal. The gospel can be and must be preached anywhere around the world. It fits wherever you go. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. The gospel, according to Jesus, is to be preached in all the nations before He returns. The gospel is universal. But you and I must accept the fact that in some measures, you and I, we are blessed in ways some people aren't. And that behooves us to acknowledge that and be very grateful to God. One of the things we must be careful about is how we handle our blessings. I was telling you last Sunday, we are currently in the little book of Haggai on Wednesday nights. Our first lesson was Haggai 1, verses 1 through 11. And there the prophet told the people and taught the people that they were too busy to serve the Lord, but he also said they were too blessed to seek the Lord. Now, how about that? God had blessed them greatly, and yet the blessings had somehow or another gotten their attention so much they forgot the Lord. And in Malachi, the Lord says blessings that he said to the priest. He could turn blessings into curse. And that's why we must handle our blessings carefully. And so you and I today should pause, admit, and appreciate to God that He has blessed us indeed, physically, materially, and financially. Every one of us. Go live in a third world country for a few days. It won't take you long to find out. Let's just break that down now. Physically, God is the cause for our existence. You wouldn't even be without God. There wouldn't be a person known by your name without God. You wouldn't be here. He's the cause for our existence. Acts 17, 28 puts it this way. For in Him we live and move, I note, and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. It's because of God that we have our very being, our very existence, our person. It's because of God. Doesn't matter how the atheist or the agnostics want to deny God and God is our creator. It's still the truth. You wouldn't be here without God. Jeremiah 1, very familiar words to some of you. To the prophet, the Lord said, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Now hear what the Lord said. He said, I formed you. He said, I knew you. I sanctified you. I ordained you. How intimate is the relationship and the knowledge of the Creator with His creation? That's you. That's me. And so today, we ought to be just thankful to God. He saw fit to include us in His creation. Now, we want to be careful to point this out. God gave to the man and to the woman, intended to be the husband and wife, the gift of procreation, and whereby in that relationship, life is conceived and born. A life can be conceived outside of the parameters that God has given to the human race, and that happens, doesn't it? Sure it does. But that life is still precious. Just because the human race chooses to cheapen that which God would have us to esteem and honor and hold sacred and very precious, and that is the relationship of a husband and wife, that life can be conceived in illicit manners, but that life is still a gift from God. And so my friend, there may be somebody here today and you carry that with you. You know that your life was conceived outside of marriage, but I hear me, friend, that wasn't your doings. And your life has meaning because you were formed by the Creator. And so therefore you can be grateful that God saw fit to bring you into this world, to give a life that would be known as, and you give your name. And so first of all, physically, God is the cause for our existence. And you know, physically speaking, God is the cause for the very health that we have and the blessings that we have physically. Do you know 24 hours ago, that's now almost a ho-hum thing. It happens all the time. It happens basically any major city and any major hospital now. And we almost yawn at it now. 24 hours ago, one of our members went into the surgery room of the hospital in Wilmington, and there a surgeon split open his chest and proceeded to work on his heart doing bypass surgery and then put that thing back together with glue or staple somehow or another. And we almost yawn at it now. Think about that. We are so blessed medically. We are so blessed with what we have today. Things that just a few decades ago would have taken someone's life. Today we have the medicine, we have the means to help people. And it is so common for us today that we're not even hardly at all surprised anymore. But that just shows how blessed we are, right? We need to be grateful. We need to be thankful. The good clinics and hospitals that we have, go to other countries and see what they have. We're blessed. I should sing, I shall not be moved, all right? Amen. Amen. Your little child gets sick, you go to the hospital, and there you go into a sterile environment. There's somebody there that you can trust who's been trained. There's a doctor there. There's the supplies there, everything. We're very blessed, beloved. physically. Go to the grocery store. Now, don't go right before the hurricane comes, all right, or the snow. But generally, 7 out of 7 days, you go. You don't find empty shelves. You don't find shortage. Do you ever just stop to think? I think like this every once in a while. I just get things every night. I think, there are a lot of potatoes grown in this country. Have you ever thought about, wait, I assume a good portion of us eat potatoes. If you're not, you're not right with God if you don't. Right? It's just potatoes, gravy and meat. That's all you need. But really, have you ever stopped to think about just, this is just Jacksonville. This is just Onslow County. How many potatoes do we eat? Good gracious. French fries, waffle fries, you know, mashed potatoes, the baked potatoes. The millions of people in this country that every day just about eat potatoes. I haven't heard yet. You need to cut back. You need to try to save some. We're blessed, folks. We are blessed. Any way you think of it physically, we got plenty of clothes. Check out the collection bins for the Salvation Army or Goodwill and see the garbage bags full of clothing we no longer wear and we've outworn because we got so many groceries. Huh? We're blessed, aren't we? I'm telling you, we're extremely blessed. We do not know what it is to lack. To do without, we don't. I guarantee you, I don't believe there's a soul here today that went up to a nail in a bedroom somewhere and there was this one garment there. You took it off that nail because that's what you're going to wear again today, the same thing you wore yesterday. Probably what you did was you stood there and you looked. I'm going to wear it today. My wife, every Saturday night, now bless her, she came to see me last night, all right? She came to the house. See, you know why she did? You know why? It was Saturday night. You know why? She does not trust the preacher. I will tell you something. I have actually learned to wash some of my clothes. That's right. But it has to be my everyday clothes. It has to be my hunting clothes. That's all I can wash. She won't let me wash anything else. So she had to come home last night. My wife is staying with her daddy right now. All right. Don't misinterpret that thing. But she had to come home because, see, she had to wash, make sure I had shirts clean for the day. But also, and something else my wife does, she keeps up track with what I wear. And I thought, well, I just, you wore that last week. So she wants to, while I'm saying, I've got a selection. You hear what I'm saying? And you can run right down anything you think of, whether it's food or clothing. We're just blessed. We have an enormous amount, physically speaking. Probably not too many homes here have one vehicle. We're blessed. Every way you look at it, we're blessed, physically. But let me move on, and it kind of ties together here, and that is materially. God is the cause for our substance. 1 Corinthians 4:7 puts it this way. For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received? We sing the doxology that says, praise God from whom all blessings flow. And I just kind of got into that already, but materially speaking, the stuff that you have, you got enough, don't you? Why do we have yard sales? You know? Why are storage bins so popular? Because materially speaking, what? We're blessed indeed. Then financially, God is the cause for our abundance. Here's what the Lord said to the Hebrew people in Deuteronomy 8, verse 18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Note, he gives you power to get wealth. You say, oh no, it's by my intellect, my knowledge. I went to school and got a degree. You wouldn't have done that without God. If God had not given you the mind, if God had not given you those inclinations toward that particular area, and you found yourself succeeding in those areas and doing well in school, and you found yourself heading in that direction for a career, why are you the way you are? Why are you wired like that? Why do you have strength in certain fields? Why can you do these things so well, but yet these other things, you hire somebody to do it? That's me, all right? But why? Why are you some of you mechanically inclined? But why are some of you others, you're more into the areas of science? Why are you the way you are? And why is it that you have the ability to succeed in that area? God said to the Hebrew people, I gave you the power to get wealth. So we ought to be grateful. The Bible says in Luke 12:48, our Lord speaking said, for everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. You see, there is responsibility and there's accountability with what God gives us and gifts us to do. And aren't you glad he's the creator that he is? All the different talents and skills and abilities that are right here in this congregation. If somebody's car's got a problem after the service, you won't say, run, get the preacher. You won't say that. You won't say that. Unless you want me to lay my hands on him, maybe he might pray over it. But you'll say, oh, hey, get so-and-so. See, once again, God gave you that. So let's just for a moment, before we move to the other half, let's just stop and admit it. Physically, materially, financially, God has blessed us indeed. Brother, it is very important to be grateful. It's very important. Romans chapter 1 that teaches us the downward spiral of the human race into a depraved mind, you will find early on where the writer puts, neither were they thankful. It's very important to be thankful. If you're not grateful, I believe it was Frank Turek, I heard on the radio the other day, he said, man, if you're not grateful, he said, you won't be happy and content. You can't be if you're not grateful. But when you're grateful, I remember hearing Homer Lindsay, who was pastor of First Baptist Jacksonville, Florida for many years. He told about the previous pastorate that he had. He said he went there, and I don't know what was behind the story, but he simply said that he spent a significant period of time leading that congregation to learning to be thankful. It is critically important because when we're thankful, we acknowledge God, and doesn't the Bible say, in all your ways acknowledge him? I mean, I trust at your house, as at our house, before we eat, we bow our head. We acknowledge God gave us that. You remember the story told about the man coming to the house to eat with the family, and he had no practice of saying a prayer, a blessing before he ate. And he was about ready to start eating when he realized they were going to pray. And he was a little bit put back by it. And so he said, is everybody in this house pray? He said, the little boy said, everybody but the pigs. You see, we acknowledge God. And then we appreciate God. We say, thank you, God. You gave me this. Oh, it's important to be grateful. But now, as real as they are, there is a sense in which that's the lesser. Now let's move even to the greater. Because our text told us this morning that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Note how Paul, first of all, gives us the identity of the one who has blessed us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. I read somewhere a quote, feel sorry for the atheist when they really have a sense of gratitude, but they don't know who to tell. You see, Paul puts it very clear here. God is the one who has blessed us. Oh, parents, teach your children that truth. Teach your children to thank God that God gave us these things. God gave the parents a job, an income. God gave us the means to have this. Let's be grateful to God for that. There's the identity. But then also there's the certainty of our blessings. Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. What? Who has. Not who might or who will, but who has blessed us. Now just hang on to that. We're going to come back to that at the very end. I tell you how Christians sometimes can act. Christians can sometimes act like we want somebody to feel sorry for us. But beloved, of all people, we are blessed. We're blessed because we're blessed with spiritual blessings. And you see, this is where the gospel goes around the world. And those dear saints in other places today who do not have the same good fortune that we have physically and materially and financially. But you know what? God has blessed them. Because he also gives to us not only the certainty of it, but the totality of it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. See, that is for every child of God. Amen. It is not for an elite group. It's not for particular persons. He has blessed us. See, that's just inclusive. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Paul put it this way in Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You see, Paul is emphasizing for us here what is really the greater blessings. Thank God for the physical, thank God for the material and the financial. But you know one thing about all of them? They're temporal. They're temporal, all right? They're for a season. Handle them well. Handle them well, but you're going to leave them. You'll be separated one day from them. Death will come. And even before that, a long-term illness also can separate you from those things that once were so much a part of your life. They're temporal. Your health is not forever. Your health will break one day. Materially, those things will wear out. They'll rust. They break. Finances. Things can change there. But your spiritual blessings, they are forever. Now, let's move here now. See, I've talked to you about the identity, God the Father. I talked about the certainty, he has blessed us. I talked about the totality with every spiritual blessing. But now let's think together about the reality of our blessings. Paul says that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. These blessings are not of this world. These blessings are of God and of his heaven. And so I'd like to do now is just take time as we head toward the end to think about some particulars. Now, Paul said God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Well, that ought to say right now, we don't have time to cover them all, do we? In fact, that might be one of the aspects of being in heaven. Because the Bible says now we see through what? A darkened glass. The Bible says we know in part. I try to pray once in a while, Lord, thank you for the blessings that I have recognized, but thank you also for those I didn't even recognize. The blessings you gave me, I don't even realize right now. But you know what? One day when we stand before the Lord and that mist is rolled away, perhaps then we'll have a greater appreciation of just how good God is to us. But just think about a few of them for a moment. As children of the living God, First of all, we are blessed to know the power of God. Amen. We are blessed to know the power of God. You're right here in Ephesians, and in chapter 1, come on over to verse 18. Ephesians 1 and verse 18. Of course, the whole chapter is worth reading, but we'll, for now, begin with verse 15. Ephesians 1, verse 15. We are blessed to know the power of God. Paul says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. That's what he's saying. I heard you got saved. You came to faith in the Lord. He says, and your love for all the saints. He says, since I heard this, since I learned this about you, he says, I do not cease to give thanks. See, he's giving thanks right there. Give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, note verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Paul said, I am praying, God will help you to appreciate that you are the recipient of resurrection power, that the very same power that was wrought in Christ when he was raised from the dead, that power is now real in your life. Because you see, he will go on to tell you in chapter 2, previously you were what? Dead in trespasses and sin. And just like the Lord, when he called Lazarus from that grave, Lazarus come forth. So there was a day in your life after hearing the word of God, hearing the gospel, whether it was from a pulpit, whether it was some individual sharing with you, but in some arena, in some situation where you heard the word and responded to it. The reason you did, because there was a word there that called you from the grave. Called you from the deadness of your sin, and you experienced the blessing of God's power in your life. But now also that power is also a reality in daily living. Someone has said rightly, we're not marching to victory, we're marching from victory. Christ has secured the victory for us. Because I live, you shall live also, Jesus says. And so therefore, sin does not have the right to dominate in your life. Now that's why it's so shameful for a Christian. Because you see, as Christians, we have to give permission to sin. That's right. We have to give even Satan permission. The Bible says, give no place to the devil. You see, we have the power of God to walk in victory in this old wicked, sinful world. We're blessed to know the power of God. Secondly, we're also blessed to have peace with God. You know these verses in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we access by faith in this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. This is a beautiful picture of the aftermath of one's justification. You see, before salvation, the Bible teaches we're all enemies. We're rebels. We're criminals before the court of heaven. And we have offended a holy God and violated his holy commandments. And thus, we are estranged from God. Actually, we're enemies of God. And yet, God in Christ has reached out to us and through the merits of Christ has reconciled us unto himself. God didn't need to be reconciled. We needed to be reconciled. We were the ones that had messed up. We were the ones who were the offense. And so in Christ, we have been brought into a friendly relationship with God. Therefore, by faith, because that's all, no works we can do, but simply by faith in Jesus, the Bible says now we have peace with God. The war is over. We're no longer alienated, Ephesians 2, at a time when we were distant from God, without God. The Bible says through the blood of Jesus, we have been made nigh unto God, near to God. We have peace with God. That's a good thing, isn't it? Man, you don't have to live with dread and fear and guilt. God has brought you into a good relationship with Himself. Thirdly, another blessing. We are blessed now to have the peace of God. Now peace with God, that's the reconciliation, that we're now right with God. We stand on the ground of grace. But now in experience, as we live the Christian life in this old fallen world, with all the things that can come our way, we can face them with the resource of God's peace. Some of you know these verses quite well. Philippians 4. And that's something we should constantly be trying to exhort each other and encourage each other. Raymond and I this week, because he was at Wilmington for so many days before his surgery, I'd send him a text. I'd throw him a verse. I'd encourage him. Keep trusting the Lord now. Because I told him the first of the week when he first went to Wilmington, and he was going to have to wait all those days. I said, now, brother, I said, the battle's going to be up here. The battle's going to be in the mind, the thoughts. What do we do with our thoughts? The Bible says we're to bring our thoughts into captivity. We're to arrest those thoughts. With our smartness, no. With the truth of God's word. And right here, look what Paul says right here in Philippians 4. And Paul is writing from a prison when he writes this. He says, be anxious for nothing. Wow, don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate, think on these things, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, you're going to have a battle this week, very likely. There'll be something coming, tempting your way, something coming to try you. Don't try it on your own wit, your own ability. Instead, just take the word of God armed with prayer. You know, I've been just, you ever have just things just wrestle in your mind? I mean, scripture things. I've been thinking where the Lord said in Jeremiah, he said, call to me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. He says, what you do not know. And then over in James, James says, you do not have. And he also said, because you do not ask. Have you ever thought about that? Put that together. What is it God will do that we don't know? And because we do not ask, we do not have. We are blessed to have the peace of God. Fourthly, I'm almost there, okay? We are blessed to have the presence of God. Do you know when God saved you? I hope you learned it shortly thereafter. God's Spirit came to live with you and in you. You are the temple of God. God is with you. Just yesterday, I had a prayer with Raymond right before he was going to surgery. And I said, well, you know, we're in the Christmas season. And what was one of the names they give to our Lord? What is it? You know what it is? Emmanuel. What does that mean? God's with us. Hebrews 13:5. To people who would suffer greatly, the writer said, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord is with you, my friend. Those who are saved, the Lord is with you. He is with you right now. And he will be with you tomorrow and next week. And he will be with you. That's why the psalmist could say that when the time of the end comes for me and I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because the one who's been with me will be with me. Amen. Thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. They comfort me. You have the presence of God. I hope and pray as we've been working through these few realities, these truths, I hope that spiritually speaking, your stock market is going up. Man, how blessed I am. One other. We are blessed to have the promises of God. God has committed himself to his people. And God has made promises to his people. 2 Peter 1 puts it this way. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You see, one of the important things you need to do in your study of this book is find out what God has promised. Now, where we get in trouble is where we start claiming things God hasn't promised. For instance, again, when Raymond was first taken to the hospital here and I had prayer, it was there or Wilmington 1, as I prayed with him, I recalled John 11, where two sisters said to Jesus, "Lord, one whom you love is sick." Now you think about that. The fact that the Lord loves you does not mean you won't get sick. And the fact that you get sick does not mean the Lord doesn't love you. You see, you got to be careful. There's some things people want to claim God has promised, God hadn't promised. But what he has promised, friend, that's yours. I don't know. Sophie and I, we still have a register in our checkbook. Some of y'all probably, you even have a checkbook anymore. I don't know. You might do everything electronically now. I do both. I have to see it written down. I just have to write it down. Well, spiritually speaking, I hope you do have a register in your checkbook. And I hope and pray when you go to the Bible, you find a promise from God. You're not taken out of context now. It's a promise God has made to his people. I hope you record that in your register as a deposit, because you've learned the truth. Remember what Jesus said? When you know the truth will do what? Set you free. It's going to liberate you. You see? Man, here you were being tempted to get anxious. Oh no, oh no. And lo and behold, you look in your register and there's a deposit. You see? Oh, not the way I thought it was. You ever made a mistake in not recording something in a register? That thing can go one of two ways, you know. But isn't it nice every now and then, if you did make a mistake, it was to your favor, you know? I forgot to include that deposit, or I recorded that check twice, you know? And man, you get to go and put that back in there. Don't you like that? Y'all pathetic, don't y'all? I know you do, you won't admit it. I've got so much, I don't care, you know? I don't believe that one bit. Man, there's $100 I didn't know I had. I subtracted wrong, you know? I did my math wrong. Everybody can't be a cleaver, all right? Some of us do wrong, you know, with math, all right? Okay? Excuse me. But he said, friend, I'm just trying to remind you and me, we are blessed. Indeed. Let me just remind you. There are three things the Bible says to us about God's riches. Romans 2:4 says, the riches of his goodness. Isn't that sweet? The riches of his goodness. Well, we had a good meal Thursday. The girls really put out. They helped Sophie a lot. One of the things we had, I don't know if you call it a side dish or dessert. I treat it both ways. Sweet potato casserole. Ooh, that is some good stuff. I'll eat it any time of the day. Well, I don't know it's that spiritual, but anyway, all right. But now hear me. The riches of his goodness. How sweet is the goodness of our Lord. God is good. He really is. And he really is good all the time. I don't abuse somebody with that. You can, but it is true. God is good. But then also Ephesians 2:7 says, the exceeding riches of his grace. We all blow it. We all blow it. We all sin. We would be absolutely embarrassed for others here to know our sins. Let's admit it. If there are sins of thought, sins of word, sins of deed. Amen? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad our God is rich in grace? Amen. And then Ephesians 3:16 talks about the riches of his glory. I'd love to have you tonight. We'll be in Psalm 97 talking about our most high God, the riches of his glory. Now, let me just challenge you. One, confess your blessings. God has blessed you. If you're saved, God has blessed you. Confess it. Just admit it. God has blessed me. No matter how I feel about it, God has blessed me. Two, claim your blessings. God has blessed you. Claim them. Three, find comfort in your blessings. It's the favor of the Lord. I love over there in the little book of Ruth. Most of you know, I'd love for all of you to know the story. It's a beautiful story of romance and redemption. But it's where Ruth goes to the field of a guy named Boaz, who one day is going to be her husband. And he does the most human natural thing. He sees her bell start ringing in his old self. And he said, let her have some extra. She was out there gathering grain for herself and her mother-in-law. And Ruth tracked him down. And Ruth said to Boaz, why have I found favor or grace in your eyes? The blessings of God are very comforting. It amazes us. Look back at the blessings of God in your life. And then again, as I said earlier, handle your blessings carefully. Be careful how you handle your blessings. We can start getting the wrong thoughts and attitude. And we can start acting like Nebuchadnezzar, a pagan, who looked out one day and said, this is all my doings. Oh no, oh no. In all your ways, acknowledge him in all your ways. Did we? You did? Okay, thank you. I've asked that we sing, I love the song, my heart is filled with thankfulness. It's a good song. Check out the words even as we sing it. Let's stand together.